highest level in 16 years. As a reminder, at the beginning of 2020, the Fed funds rate was zero.
While some things are still super expensive right now, CBS's Deborah Rodriguez tells us rented storage units is finally back down after a surge during the pandemic.
The Wall Street Journal says customers are paying as much as 28% less than they were in the summer of 2021 when spaces were almost impossible to find. One of the largest operators, Public Storage, is even offering incentives like $1 for the first month.
They're talking UFOs on Capitol Hill today. Correspondent Scott McFarlane with details.
Congress, which for years has avoided the topic of this unexplained phenomenon, will give a bipartisan and big platform to three people who take this witness table and describe their encounters with UFOs. And it won't just be U.S. media following, but international media outlets watching this room as well.
It has been roasting in the Southwest for weeks, and now that heat wave is baking the Midwest and East Coast. In Florida, jumping in the ocean isn't even going to cool you off. CBS's Matt Piper reports it was more than 100 degrees 2 days in a row.
That could be the hottest seawater ever recorded, and it's what hot tubs are typically set to. The hot readings were from buoys at Manatee Bay, with one researcher who took a recent trip out to the Florida Keys saying an entire reef was bleached out from the hot water.
The extreme heat may also make finding your favorite summer fruit more difficult. Summer Kuhn owns a blueberry field in Stillwater, Minnesota.
We will lose what is harvestable right now, but it may be that some fruit hangs on.
Hunter Biden's expected to plead guilty today to tax-related misdemeanors. Our Catherine Herridge with details on the plea deal.
It's not clear whether Hunter Biden's legal problems end with the plea agreement. The U.S. attorney has said the probe is ongoing. David Weiss could publicly testify in late September after the congressional recess. House Republicans want to hear from him much sooner.
You might want to skip that burger. There's a big salmonella outbreak linked to ground beef. The CDC says at least 16 illnesses have been reported in New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. They believe the number of people who have gotten sick is probably higher. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Attention taxpayers, ready for some bad news? With $80 billion in new funding from Congress, the IRS has launched their most aggressive hiring campaign ever to ramp up enforcement. If you're ignoring your taxes, don't delay another minute because your paycheck, your bank account, even your home or business could already be at risk. Now, here's the good news. Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax relief firm, can get to work immediately, helping to protect you from the IRS. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, their tax attorneys and licensed professionals are experts at resolving tax problems. Let them help determine if you qualify for the Fresh Start Initiative or other powerful IRS tax assistance programs. Take control. Call Optima Tax Relief now for a free consultation.
Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 8055, 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
It'd be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for isolated storms today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. High of 85, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 65, tonight mainly clear skies, mainly sunny, tomorrow high of 94. Chance for scattered storms Friday with highs in the upper 80s, lots of sunshine Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 71.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody, along with Mr. Aaron Zommer as our producer and engineer, and also Mr. Luke Mather is our executive producer. It is a threesome here on a Tuesday afternoon. It is Tuesday Tangents with Luke, and he is coming up in hour number two. Mr. Zommer cannot wait for that.
Yeah, and also, if you're watching the stream, you might notice something looks a little different.
I'm still getting there are so many changes, and for an old man like me, you know, it's just tough. But it looks fantastic. Along with Luke and along with Rebecca, our graphics person, we are now on StreamYard, not just the Zoom. We're on StreamYard, so it looks fancier.
Yeah, it turns out using a piece of software that's meant for streaming as opposed to meant for meetings looks a lot nicer and is easier to use.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like this couch behind me, if you look, there's a new couch back there. I feel like I should just, like when Kira comes on, I feel like I should be on the couch and just like, you know, the doctor is in.
I think yeah, that's a good idea for when we have Kira Sabin.
All right, fantastic. Big show today, Mr. Zommers. In addition to hour number two at 2:30, and incidentally, my apologies to Luke Mathers. Here's the problem. Since we moved over to this new place, I don't have my board in my office up yet, and I usually list out the entire like 4 weeks of shows on this board on little tiny on cards. And so when I'm doing the social media posts, I think about the guests that I'm bringing in that day, and now for 2 weeks in a row on Tuesdays, I've forgotten to plug Mr. Mathers for Tuesday Tangents with Luke. So I'll start with that by apologizing. I know, there he is. I'm sorry, Luke Stern. But he'll be in. It'll be a great 2:30 hour, 2 o'clock hour, rather, with Luke Mathers. But before that, hour number one, I welcome back my former boss, Scott Klug, former United States Congressman, Republican from here in Madison. He is here to announce a big project, Mr. Zommers, which you and I, we keep talking about this from time to time on the air, our quote-unquote secret project. And now it can all be revealed in a little while.
Exciting stuff. Got to leave the anticipation.
Poor Mr. Zommers. He's working his tail feathers off right now because in addition to doing every show virtually in the Civic Media empire, he's also been working on this secret project. It's kind of like the broadcast rendition of Oppenheimer. So we've been working on this secret project, and we are going to tell you all about it, along with Scott Klug, who is here to announce it, and in conjunction with Civic Media. Looking forward to it. Do you, the listener, feel a little lost in the middle politically? Well, turns out so does Scott Klug. He'll be in here at 1:30 to tell us all about it. Looking forward to that. Right now, though, we're going to give away some Milwaukee Brewers baseball tickets. Here's the deal. We have 4 tickets to tonight's game. Big, big game. As the Cincinnati Reds are in town, the Brewers battling it out in the Central Division. Huge win last night. Christian Yelich hits the walk-off single to score one of his teammates. I forget who it was that came across the plate, but Yelich got the walk-off single. Brewers win. Another big night for Sal Freitag. Making history, getting hits there for the Milwaukee Brewers. I believe he got a home run last night as well. Don't quote me on that one, but a big night for Sal last night as well. So we're going to give away 4 tickets to tonight's game. You can be there. Now realize it starts at 7:10. So take that into consideration. Can you get there for the 7:10 game tonight? We have four tickets, and these are not your average ticket, you understand? These are in the club-level section of AmFam Park, right below the skyboxes, cushioned seats. You can see right into the Brewers' dugout. Great viewing of the entire field, including the scoreboard. Your own concession area for the club level. And also, kind of bathrooms right out from the seats there. So, really, really a fantastic setup. Very simple trivia question. If you've been listening to me for the last 2 minutes, we're going to take the first caller who can tell us the correct answer to this. Who hit the game-winning hit last night for the Milwaukee Brewers? Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Who had the winning hit in the ninth inning last night for the Milwaukee Brewers against the Reds? 844-967-2789. The first caller wins four tickets to tonight's game at 7:10. 844-967-2789. Mr. Zommer's screening the call, taking it right now on our phone lines, and then we'll put them on the air. We have Jason listening to us in Kenosha. Jason, are you listening to us at our new station, WRJN, or on the Civic Media app?
No, I'm listening. Well, whichever one is 540.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We appreciate you. Jason, yeah. Who had the winning hit last night for the Brew Crew?
That would be Christian Yelich in the top of the 10th, or in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Yes. Congratulations. You are correct, sir. Do you have three friends, family, or otherwise people you can take with you tonight?
I definitely have some family who would love to go.
Well, you are going, my friend. We appreciate you listening in so much. Thank you very much. Don't go anywhere. Mr. Zommers will take your name, your full name, your phone number, and your email off the air. We will email those tickets to you. Make sure you download the baseball app as well, because you'll need that to get in. All right?
Excellent. All right. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
We appreciate you, Jason. Thank you so very much. There you
Excellent.
Go. Be listening every day. You never know when Milwaukee Brewer tickets are going to come up and be available for you. Stay tuned now. We're going to have more on the other side, including my former boss, former Congressman Scott Klug, coming up at the bottom of the hour to announce a big new project. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 15 past the hour of 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. It is Tuesday, July 25th. Glad to have you along, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. Mr. Zommers, another happy camper down there in Racine, Kenosha land.
Oh, yes. I'm sure he's going to have a great time.
Good time will be had by all, as my former teacher, Ken Lewis, is fond of saying. By the way, if you're down in the Racine, Kenosha area, WRJN, now on the air. You can listen over the air, and of course, on the Civic Media app as well. You can listen on 1400 AM. And on FM 99.9 and 98.1 FM down there in southeast Wisconsin. I want to clean up something here before we get into politics for the day. We did not have a chance, because of the technical snafus, Mr. Zommers, yesterday, to get your full Barbie movie review. Now, Mr. Zommers, and if you haven't seen this, Barbie made like $155 million over the weekend.
Oh, it's up more than that now.
Is it now?
Now it's like over 300,000.
Good gosh.
Or 300 million. You know what I mean?
Right. So we never got to it yet. We had Phil Neon a little bit to have a little bit of fun, because he grew up in Willow, or lived in the town of Willow in Richland County for a while. And according to an article in Madison Magazine last week, they're saying that Barbie, according to the Mattel company, they claim that she grew up in Willows, Wisconsin, plural. Well, there is no Willows, Wisconsin, so we found, or the magazine, found the town of Willow from my home county, Richland. So we had some fun with Phil Nee last night, or yesterday afternoon, talking about Willow Township. But Mr. Zommers, give us the official critique of Barbie.
It's good. Okay. So.
All right. Very good.
I would say that I know I said this to you. I don't remember if I said it on the air, but a lot of the people who are boycotting it, there's good reason, because they are too busy being offended to listen to it. So it is very feminist and very forward in that. Mm. And I thought that was great. Yeah. And it provides, it makes light of a lot of situations that we see every day. And I know it gave me personally some male behaviors, like traditionally male behaviors that it made fun of. I was like, you know what? I kind of do that sometimes.
Really?
Not a lot, but a couple things there. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just like when people hear white people did this in the past, like they had slaves or whatever. And they're like, right. Well, I didn't do that. So it's not all white people. It's like that. Or they're like, I don't do that. It's not all men. And it's like, by doing that, you're doing it right now.
Right.
Anyway, that aside.
There's a little bit of a political overtone to it, but not overt is what you're saying.
Oh, it's overt.
Oh, it is. Okay, it's over.
It's like, that's what the movie's about,
all
basically.
Right. All right.
And it's not
political.
But
it looks funny, too.
Oh, it's hilarious.
All right.
That's not all it is. I just wanted to address that.
Okay.
It's very funny. The humor, I think, plays a lot into what people who are millennials and Gen Z think is funny.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a lot of jokes that people outside those generations will enjoy, too. And, like, one thing, the beginning of the movie, like, copies and makes fun of the opening to 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Okay.
Where, you know, you got the monolith, but it's just Barbie standing there. It was funny.
Well, that's fantastic. And Will Ferrell's in the movie as well.
Will Ferrell is in the movie. There are some Elf references, too.
Oh, really?
I won't give them away.
All right, very good. Well, you can't go wrong with that, right? Absolutely cannot. Well, very good. So you give it a thumbs up?
I would absolutely give it a thumbs up. Yeah, it's very funny. Makes some good commentary. And while it does occasionally have a couple of issues with the way it addresses its points, it actually brings them up in the movie.
All right.
Like later on, there's a part where Barbie is saying, you know, I just don't feel beautiful anymore. I'm not perfect. And then they're like, a note to the filmmakers. Margot Robbie was the wrong person to cast if you wanted to make this point.
So it breaks the fourth wall a little bit.
A couple times.
All right. I like stuff like that, too. So, all right. We'll have to go check it out. Barbie in theaters now, like they need the money. But, you know, it sounds like a good movie would you say, you know, above 5, 6 years old?
I would say.
Or teenagers.
Most certainly above 5, 6 years old.
Yeah.
I think it has a couple of adult jokes that I think would be caught on to by people who are even pretty young.
Okay.
So
don't take the really small kids, but you know, 10, 11.
Definitely.
Okay, very good. There's your official movie review from Mr. Zomers on a board game, but what a movie review. So that's fantastic. I send you something, Mr. Zomers, and when you have the cut queued up, let me know, because we're going to have my former boss, Congressman Scott Klug, on the show here after the break at the bottom of the hour in the next half hour. And we're talking about a new project that he is launching. And Scott Klug, if you don't know, if you haven't lived here recently, or maybe you've forgotten because a lot of things have happened politically, but Scott pulled off a huge political upset in the early 90s, beating longtime 42, 43-year incumbent Bob Kastenmeier. And Scott was a moderate Republican. He was pro-life, number one. Pro-choice, a pro-choice Republican. He also was one of the few Republicans that voted for the assault weapons ban in the 90s as well, but fiscally a conservative. And so we're going to talk about this new venture he's doing to kind of speak to the lost middle of America. The person that we're going to do, the cut we're going to play for you now, though, this person is not in the middle at all. And this is what I find so fascinating right now about politics. And particularly on the mega side, Trygve Olsen, who will be on the show tomorrow, and I talk about this, that there are a lot of folks, particularly in rural Wisconsin, who aren't necessarily big-time Republicans, right? They're not going to conventions. They just vote for the local sheriff who happens to be Republican or whatever. I'm not talking about that brand of Republican. This is one of these guys, Jameson Eklund, who goes to these Trump rallies, these mega rallies, and just does interviews. And he finds these people who just say wacky stuff. And it's funny, but the sad part is these folks believe this stuff. You know, like, you know, some people actually think that Michelle Obama is a woman. I mean, I'm not making that up. There's people that...
You mean people believe that she's not a woman. You said people actually believe Michelle Obama is a woman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, yes, thank you. Thank you for correcting me.
I believe that.
So do I. No, there are people believe that she's not a woman, that she's a man, and they adopted their kids from Africa. That's a real thing that some mega people believe, which is complete, of course, nonsense.
All the QAnon stuff.
Exactly. So here now, we're going to play you some of this interview from a recent Trump rally and what this woman thinks happened in the voting in 2020. Go ahead.
Here's what I heard from a very good military friend of mine. And I'm ashamed to say this because I am Italian, okay?
I am Italian.
The Pope and his Leonardo satellites up in space. If you remember when Mr. Trump first got in, he launched SpaceX and Space Age up there, and he put the biggest satellite up there. Well, it caught all the votes that were pinged up from him and sent back to Earth for Biden. They got all that. They got it all.
What? Where's this information from?
Mm-hmm.
They're sending votes to space?
They sent the votes to Italy and Berlin.
For what?
Well, they shot them up there, and then they brought them back as Biden's.
Why are they sending votes up to satellites?
Because they had to do it some way that wasn't so suspicious. But he caught them in the act. Here's what I want you to
mention this in this speech. He's going to talk about the satellites and the votes.
He won't do that. Mm-mm. This is a secret. You might want to edit that. Okay. I don't know if you want to put all that on there, but
I think the people deserve to.
This is an actual mega participant at an actual mega Trump rally.
This reminds me of the videos people take when they go to like UFO conventions and right. Then interview people. It's the same thing.
So this woman apparently believes that Donald Trump launched SpaceX and that he put satellites up. And so that when this woman believes that the Democrats or the Biden people sent votes up into ballots, up into space, and changed them to Biden and then sent them back down to Earth to be counted, and that Donald Trump through SpaceX was able to capture all that. And this according to a good friend of hers who's in the military, and she's very sad because she's Italian, that somehow the Pope was involved in this as well. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, you understand? What in heaven's name is wrong with people? And again, it's entertaining, and I'm not saying this is reflective of all Republicans. I'm just saying this is an example of the extremes, okay? And we can bring up, you know, things on the left as well. I don't think are that extreme, but certainly there are extremes on both sides. And I'm going to tease tomorrow's show a little bit because Trygve Olson, as I said, from the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, is going to be on the show tomorrow. And they have a new project at the Lincoln Project. They've done a huge amount of research in the first part of this year, interviewing and doing basically I don't even call it polling. It's more like a focus group, doing 45-minute interviews with thousands of people. And they have come away with some great new data that he is going to release first tomorrow here on this show. And he's going to talk about these political extremes and what's driving this. And the media, in part, is driving this. And the base in each party is driving this. And that clip that we just played, as, you know, entertaining as it might be, the lunacy of it. And that's what we are going up against as we enter into 2024. I've never seen anything like this of the extremes of both sides. And so what we need is somebody who can speak to the political middle of this country and realize that, I mean, this election in 2024, next year, is going to come down to a very small percentage of actual voters. Less than 10% of the actual electorate, probably closer to 8%, are going to decide who the next president of the United States is. And here's the kicker, just to give you a preview of tomorrow's show. Here's the kicker. It's not just the vote itself which is going to determine the fate of American democracy. It is the big question is, are we as Americans going to be willing to accept the results regardless of who wins? Because that's what makes a democracy tick. That's one of the fundamental tenets of American democracy, is that we are willing to accept and be governed even by people that we might not have voted for. And so Trigvi's going to be in tomorrow with some of this new research and let us know this and talk about it then. Going to be a great program then. Stick around as this kind of segues into our next half hour, when at some point next half hour, we'll be joined here in studio by former United States Congressman Scott Klug. And he's going to talk about this, these not so much the extremes, but the large people in the middle. Why aren't our politicians and our parties talking to people in the middle? Sensible folks across Wisconsin and across America. We'll talk with Scott Klug. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Ready Now.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Cut. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? to go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for isolated storms today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. High of 85, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 65, tonight mainly clear skies, mainly sunny, tomorrow high of 94. Chance for scattered storms Friday with highs in the upper 80s, lots of sunshine Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 71.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show across the state of Wisconsin here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Tuesday, the 25th of July, 2023, along with Aaron Zommers, our producer engineer on the board. We are joined this half hour by a former Wisconsin Congressman, Scott Klug. Scott, a Republican. How the heck are you?
Good, Todd. Good to see you again.
It's great to see you. Tell people, I mentioned before the break here, you were elected in really a historic, one of the biggest wins in Wisconsin, certainly the last century. I don't think that's overstating it. Robert Kastenmeyer, 42 years have been?
32 years.
32. Well, yeah. That was long enough. And you surprised a lot of folks. You had been in television beforehand, never run for office before. And tell folks what that was like, getting that big win.
Well, I mean, I think everybody was surprised, no more so than me. I mean, I remember if you've ever seen this great movie with Robert Redford, it's called The Candidate. And he runs and pulls off a big upset election, beats somebody that nobody thought would ever be beaten. And the movie ends as he gets in the elevator with his campaign manager and the doors close. And he looks at his campaign manager and goes, now what? Well, that was the same feeling at the Concourse Hotel decades ago now when I beat somebody who'd been in for 32 years and nobody in the world thought I had a chance, including me and most about everybody at some point.
Didn't you have on your calendar at your home or the campaign office basically rest or something the next day?
Probably. Although once you get elected, there is no rest. But it was right. A great run. I mean, I had a wonderful 8 years. I was a term limit guy, so I always said when I ran, I would quit. I said after 12 years. I left after 8. Somebody wrote a note to me afterwards and said, nice job, always leave the stage while they're still applauding, which I thought was a pretty good sort of metaphor for politics and a metaphor for life. I think in politics, most people stay around too long, and like aging NFL quarterbacks, it doesn't end very well for many of them. And I think the system as a whole works better if people don't view it as a career. They view it as sort of a very narrow window of public service. Come in, do it, and then leave.
During your time in office, you are what is almost an extinct breed right now, a moderate Republican. You are a pro-choice Republican. You also voted for the assault weapons ban in the 90s, one of the few Republicans to do so. But fiscally, you are very conservative, and you, along with Democrats, had the Gang of Seven with John Boehner was in that in his first term, correct? You came in together, and you shut down the House Bank and the House Post Office. So you weren't left or right. You truly were in the middle.
So my politics, I'm very much from the libertarian wing of the Republican Party. So I don't want the government involved in my life. I don't want the government involved in my business. I don't want my business involved, the government involved in my personal life. I don't want it involved in my bedroom, and more so than anything else, I don't want it in my wallet. So I'm very much a small government advocate. That may put me out of step to some degree with both the current Democratic and Republican Party. The Democratic Party, it seems to me, is much more activist, much more expansive, which I don't like. And I don't think the government does a lot of things very well, including enforcing cultural values. So I'm out of step with some of the current Republican stuff. So I was sort of a political orphan back then, and I'm a political orphan, I guess, again now.
You got out of politics. Like you said, you left voluntarily. You kept your word and then some. And you got into small business. You started or you took over Wisconsin Trails magazine.
Well, it actually turned into a bigger publishing company, but this strange thing called the internet came along. And so we had a great run for about 8 years. And then I said, there's something weird here. So fortunately, we got out of it before the world collapsed. And as you know, there's a guy we talked to recently for the show we're going to talk about who ran a website called Newspaper Graveyard. I met newspapers, magazines. It's a very much of a changed world. I think it's a tough business to be in, and anything including broadcasting. And in fact, you know, tribute to the management here at Civic Media, which has a new vision for a largely political talk show network across the state of Wisconsin. And I'm old enough and old fashioned enough that I believe broadcasting has a civic responsibility that comes around with it. And I think you guys are doing a great job.
Appreciate the kind words. To complete it, to bring it up to current levels, in your words, you participated in the axis of evil, including being a lobbyist for the last few years.
Yeah, I have. I've got it all covered, right? So if you're not cynical by the time you talk to me now, you will be by the time I get done. So I worked as a reporter largely in Seattle and Washington, D.C. before I moved back to my native Wisconsin. Then I was in politics for 8 years, and then I completed the axis of evil by becoming a federal lobbyist. And so I'm lucky enough to work for Foley and Lardner, great national law firm whose historic roots are in Milwaukee, and we like to say founded in 1844 before Wisconsin was a state. So long, long run.
As somebody who's known you for a while, you kind of get that Klug itch after 8 or 10 years. And this time has come now. You're here too, and I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to do this for the first time on our show here. You have a brand new project you're here to announce. Tell folks what it is.
Well, so during the Kevin McCarthy fiasco, I got grabbed by folks in movie theaters and in coffee shops and in the cereal aisle of a grocery store, sort of saying, who elected these people and how do we get here? And if you look at it, about 44% of the American public self-identifies as centrist. Mm. And what they see in Washington these days is a government that's consumed by the extremes. And it doesn't, you know, the issues don't seem to resonate with people here, and the tone doesn't resonate with people here. So I reached out to an old friend, Jeff Mayers, who works at WisPolitics, and said, Jeff, we should really do a podcast on America's lost political middle, who we call America's political orphans. And that's where we are. We're about to launch a 14-episode series that looks at all sort of facets of how we got here and, God willing, how we get out of the mess we're in today.
Trygve Olson from the Lincoln Project is going to be here tomorrow with some new data. I've kind of previewed it for the show. It kept me up last night, to be honest, because it talks about the extremes on both the right and the left and how the media plays a role, how each party base plays a role. And little by little, it seems like the middle really is being squeezed out. I don't mean this to be rude, but I don't know if a guy like you could get elected in your old district today, because I don't know if you could make it to the primary. And same way with a lot of Democrats, I don't know that more moderate Democrats like Bob Jelk and Roger Bresky that were in the state Senate from northern Wisconsin could make it through their primaries either.
Well, you're right. I mean, what's happened is there's a hollow out on the middle on both sides. And so you've seen, for example, the disappearance of moderate Republicans in New England, a lot in the Midwest, and actually in Southern California, which was another base. And similarly, if you look at conservative and moderate Democrats, they've largely disappeared in the South. And even in some of the Midwest where they've managed to hang on, they mostly got wiped out in the Trump election in 16. So if you go back and look just on the Democratic side, there were 52 blue dogs in 2010. There's now 9. And of the 9 who are left, they split into 2 groups, because one didn't want to be the blue dogs anymore because it sounded like old Southern guys.
Right.
And the other people didn't want to be whatever the hell the other name was they came up with. So when you only got 9 people that's left in the Democratic centrist caucus and they fight with each other, what does that say? And the moderate Republicans for years when I was in D.C. always used to call themselves the Tuesday group, which met Wednesday on lunch, which sort of tells you everything you needed to know about moderate Republicans even back then. But the point is that there used to be a time in this country where you got rewarded for delivering and for working with the other side. And there was a sense of civility. I may not like your ideas, but I have to have I have to respect them.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we're both trying to get the same thing done. And I think those 44%, they want candidates who say they're going to work in the middle and get things accomplished. And it, you know, it doesn't take a genius. I mean, you can take, look at the border. You can build a wall and you can figure out a solution for the Dreamers. Mm-hmm. Why does that turn into such an absolute battleground? So it frustrates me, but I am who I am. And my, I sound like Popeye now, but my sense is there's a lot more people out there who think this way, who just don't want to talk about it because nobody wants to talk about politics these days because you end up in fights at your own Thanksgiving table.
You're a multi-Emmy award-winning journalist, spent time in Seattle and many years here in Madison, Wisconsin, anchoring for the ABC affiliate here. Ever done radio or podcasting before?
I've not, and it's a new experience. But, you know, it's telling stories. The only difference is, to some degree, TV's easier because you can use images which can convey emotion, which is hard to do in radio. On the other hand, in long-form audio, and most of our podcasts are going to, I think, are going to be 30 to 45 minutes, you can tell stories in a more measured sense, deliver a sense of humor, go deeper in the stories. And every one of these stories is going to feature 6 or 7 or 8 interviews, and every one of them is going to be a self-contained package. And in many cases, each story will have 1, 2, 3, 4 elements, 5, 6 elements in some cases. So everything from civility and politics to some bipartisan speaker win in Ohio, taking a look at how the media lost its mind. And now we're taking a long look at an independent presidential candidacy. I just looked at 2 focus groups, and focus groups are where you talk to 6 or 7 people in a room and just sort of run ideas past them, and they interact with one another. And there's a guy named Rich Thau who does great focus groups with sort of swing voters. So he did a swing voter project in Pennsylvania. They did 2 panels of 7 voters. And the first question was, how many of you would rather see somebody else run than Biden and Trump in the next election? First group of 7, everybody's hands up. Next group of 7, everybody's hands up. Would you consider voting for an independent presidential candidate? All 14 of them raised their hand.
Wow.
That'll tell you what the mood of the country is. And so I know that the political pros will say, you got to go negative. You know, you've got to head in this direction or that direction. But I do think there's a middle lane, and I think the American public is really ready for it. The problem is, I don't think there's a face like there was when Ross Perot ran, who actually ended up getting 19% of the vote, second most compared to Teddy Roosevelt. But I do think that moment's coming just because people have had it.
We have a clip, as they say, from the first episode. I love the title, One Mouth, Two Ears. Tell us a little bit about what it's about.
Well, this is actually a story about Ohio, which most people haven't really heard very much about. The Ohio legislature had a supermajority. The young sort of cultural warriors who came in decided they were going to purge all the old line Republicans, which you'll hear a little bit about now. And at the end of the day, what happened, which is really interesting, well, we should let the clip run, then I'll tell you what happens. I got a story to tell you about what happened just down the road from the Horseshoe, the Buckeyes football stadium. A story for you political orphans. Given the edge in the governor's race, in which Mike DeWine won with 63%, it should not come as a surprise that the GOP grabbed a 67-32 supermajority in the state assembly. Shortly after the election, the Republican caucus huddled in November and rallied around Derek Marin, a young brash conservative who, with Christmas carols playing in the background and a season of good tidings to all, began to purge the establishment party leadership with the first salvo launched Christmas week.
There were 4 members of the previous leadership team that were ordered to evict our offices by December 21st, even though swearing-in day was not until January 3rd.
That's GOP Representative Bill Seitz, a fixture in Ohio politics for decades.
And so, you know, that was really not a problem for me. It was a problem for our staff. You have to drop everything and move offices 4 days before the holiday. I thought that was somewhat ungracious, but it wasn't only me.
This is
There you go. That's quite the story.
Well, and here's the punchline. So the old line Republicans have been around for a long time, very conservative. This is Ohio. I mean, Ohio is more red than California's blue. They decide what they're going to do is cut a deal with the Democrats. So they reached out to the Democratic minority leader, and in Ohio, about 45% of the Republican in the assemblies and almost all the Democrats in the assembly voted for a bipartisan Republican speaker and froze out sort of the right wing on the side. And I think that's when you tell people that story, they go, oh, my God, that's the kind of stuff that should happen more often. And frankly, yeah. I'd like to see it happen more often.
Mr. Zomers, I've been honored to work a little bit behind the scenes with you, and Civic Media is really proud to be hosting this, Scott. We're going to get the opportunity to kind of be the first run. They're going to appear here across Civic Media at first, but then this is a national syndicated podcast.
It is indeed. So we're lucky enough to partner with a group affiliated with the National Realtors Association, which really focuses on local political problems, zoning, rent control, things like that. And they're focused on bipartisan, common sense, middle of the ground solutions. And they're going to send it out to their 2 million members. And mm-hmm. then we're working with public relations teams to make sure we get other interview requests nationally and some coverage in the national press. It's going to actually premiere about the third week of September. And there'll be 14 episodes that go from September of this year till September of next year, because we went out when the presidential election's in full force.
I know you're about 5 or 6 episodes into this so far. What's the biggest surprise you've heard from people or thing you take away from the first 5 episodes in?
Well, I think that there's just a lot of great stories out there people don't know. I mean, you know, one of the things I think people sometimes say the whole country needs a timeout. Who better to give a timeout than a mom? And so here's a mom in Utah, 5 kids, 3 grandchildren, served as a city council, served as an election board official.
Hang on, we'll finish the story. We come back after this on the Tom Walsh Show.
More about Tammy in a second.
Yeah, sorry.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network, it is now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. Welcome back to the Tom Walsh Show. Mr. Aaron Zomer is on the board. Mr. Scott Klug, former United States Congressman, here live and in person. After spending time in Congress, went into private business, and now getting back into broadcasting. Was a broadcaster in television, about to launch the new Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans, coming up in September here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and also going to be syndicated nationwide as well. Scott, you were telling this story before our break so rudely cut you off.
No worries. So I was telling you a story about a woman named Tammy who is in Logan, Utah, served on the city council. She and her husband sang in the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. I sort of figured she's the perfect person to call a timeout for America and let politics and all that craziness settle down. So she and several other people designed a civility index. And the idea was it would score candidates on their rhetoric and their openness and their ability to respect the other side. Mm-hmm. And she put it on her website and wait for the punchline. 24 hours later, she had to take it down because let's just say most of the comments weren't very civil. So I think Tammy's a great story of people around the country trying to get things done. In Palm Springs, for example, we've got a newspaper editor who said, you know, how can we tone down this partisanship? And what she did is she said, for a month, we're only going to run local editorials and local letters to the editors, none of the national stuff. And it turned out when they did it, because she had 3 political science professors monitor it and survey readers ahead of time, and they compared it to another local newspaper in California, partisanship went down mm-hmm. in Palm Springs, and in the other newspaper, it kept climbing. So lots of cool stories from around the country of people trying to change the climate and change the way the country's working right now.
As we said, you're a multi-Emmy winner in the television industry for years, both in Washington and here in Wisconsin. I worked in radio before and then got into politics myself, and now I'm back in it. I'm a media guy who loves media. Talk to us a little bit about what you're finding with today, because there's kind of the far right, the OWN, and all that stuff on the far right. You've got Fox News, then you've kind of got the more traditional media, and I guess you could put maybe MSNBC in that kind of more left-wing category. How are all these categories affecting people? Because when I was growing up, I'm old enough to remember watching Walter Cronkite, and when he said, that's the way it is, you just said that's it. You believed it. Not so anymore.
No, it's fractured so badly, and it's really driven by economics more than anything else. I don't know where it all went to hell. There's two points we'll point to in the podcast episode. One is an old friend of mine from Seattle TV is the guy who started Crossfire, which arguably changed the whole tone of TV news. There was always TV news and TV discussion shows, but they basically made it sports radio with people screaming at each other. And turn on Fox, turn on MSNBC, and you see the stepchildren of Crossfire today. So we'll talk to Randy Douthat in one of the episodes, who's an old friend who started Crossfire. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing happened, I'm not sure where it was in the country, but at one point, suddenly somebody bought a 1974 Oldsmobile from Craigslist. What's that got to do with anything? Because almost 40% of newspaper revenues came from classified advertising. For people under the age of 30, wow, welcome to the old days. You used to get a giant newspaper on Sundays. Classifieds is where you bought autos, looked for jobs, bought puppies, you know, found a house to rent, a house to buy, whatever the case might be. That revenue all shot out the window. And if you want to look at what's happened to the newspaper business, it starts with classifieds. Then it went to the internet, and subscriptions then went away. So both of those forces, right, what happened in CNN, which changed the tone, and what happened with the newspapers, which changed the economics, means the only way you can make money these days is you got to pick a side.
Yeah.
And so you look at MSNBC and you look at Fox, and they live in parallel universes. You'd never know you're living in the same country, in the same galaxy.
What happened at CNN? I mean, Chris Licht, I mean, he started at Morning Joe. I know Joe Scarborough, a former congressman, was a colleague of yours in Congress. He got a start there at Morning Joe, then kind of reinvented CBS This Morning, goes to Colbert, and ends up at CNN, and the whole thing just falls apart.
Well, I think that's a tough question. I mean, it's a question of if you can have a media source today that really runs the center. I mean, it didn't work. Okay. CNN's ratings went off the cliff. You can look also, Shepard Smith, who used to be at Fox, went over to CNBC, which is largely a business network, and they started a very straight, here are the facts, the news. It might have lasted 4 months. It was gone. So I think some parts of the media are trying to play it more straight. And actually, another element of our media story is about a service that rates the bias in media called All Sides. And they're usually pretty happy because everybody's usually pretty PO'd at them. Mm-hmm. And they've got actually an index of sort of left to right of bias. And so over here on the far left would be MSNBC. On the far right is Fox and Sinclair. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, who's in the middle? It's largely the BBC and Reuters and a couple of news services, and then sort of the middle left and the middle right's the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post. So I think they would argue to say whatever this illusion that was once out there that everybody was objective, it really doesn't exist anymore. And that's okay. You just have to figure out, and those media outlets have to be honest with themselves of where they stand.
About 3 minutes left in our time together. You mentioned this podcast, Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans, debuting coming this September, this fall, on Civic Media and anywhere you get your podcasts. You talk about having some green shoots of hope. It's not all doom and gloom. There's a little bit of hope here. Give folks an idea of what you found that you take away. They're like, hey, maybe the world isn't going to hell in a handbasket.
Sure. So one thing I really like, and a lot of people don't, is I think it's great when people split tickets because it says to me, you're thinking about who you want to win and you're voting for the best candidate. It's easy to walk in the room and pull one lever another level. And political junkies will tell me I'm nuts because that's sort of an idealistic, romantic thing and everything else in the world. But if you look in 2022, lots of ticket splitting in a lot of states around the country, especially in governor and Senate races, in Georgia, in Wisconsin, in New Hampshire, and Vermont. And I think that's a very healthy sign for the political system. And you'll actually hear, for example, we'll let you eavesdrop on a group of Georgia voters in a different focus group talking about the Warnock Herschel Walker race and how they worked their way through it. And a lot of them were committed to the Republican governor, Brian Kemp, but many of those swing voters voted for Raphael Warnock. So I do think ticket splitting's another indication that people, I think, are sort of coming out of this fog and starting to think for themselves.
And what show can you talk about and hear from Crossfire and the Wisconsin Ducks all in the same podcast?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, in fact, when we ended up looking at the swing district in Wisconsin last time out in the Evers-Johnson races, we actually looked at Columbia County and Wisconsin Dells. And one of the things, Todd, we try to do in every one of these episodes is give people a sense of place. You know, sometimes you can just talk about political issues in the abstract, but, you know, Tammy, the woman with the civility index, was in Logan, Utah, and that forms who she is. She's, as I said earlier, a member of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. The suburbs in Georgia are turning purple when once they were solid red, so we'll talk to Georgia voters. In Wisconsin, we looked at Columbia County, just outside of Madison, where it split. They went for Evers. They also went for Ron Johnson, including the Wisconsin Dells. And so that's another little snapshot of, you've got affluent Georgia suburbs, purple, and you've got sort of Wisconsin, Madison suburbs, small towns that turn purple too.
Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans, debuts this fall here on Civic Media and wherever you get your podcasts. Scott Klug, former congressman, we thank you for your time.
Thanks, Todd. Nice to be here. And everybody sign up.
Absolutely. You can find it, Lost in the Middle, America's Political Orphans. Thank you so much, Scott Klug. Stay tuned. We've got Luke Mathers, Tuesday Tangents with Luke on the other side. This is the Todd Allbowl.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin this morning in Delaware, where the president's son, Hunter Biden, is expected to show up at federal court to formally agree to a plea deal in connection with two misdemeanor tax charges and one gun possession charge. Correspondent Catherine Herridge reports from Wilmington.
Since the plea was announced in June, IRS whistleblowers have come forward alleging Hunter Biden got preferential treatment, and they believe the evidence supported more serious charges. His legal team insists the years-long probe was thorough, and now a Delaware judge will have her say.
U.S. Marine veteran Trevor Reed, freed from Russia in a prisoner swap last year, has been injured fighting in Ukraine against his former captors. White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre.
The U.S. government has been extraordinarily explicit in warning Americans not to travel to Ukraine.